The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Man, we got a lot of cancellations going on today. We canceling Drew Brees getting canceled. And, you know, it is, you know what? It's such a shame. And Malcolm Jenkins, boy, we're going to, if you haven't heard, and I'm pretty sure you probably have. What? See, that's why you got to have this. You got to wash off. First, you have to, what the hell? He's smelling his microphone. That's why you got to have the condom on. You got to wash it first. Yeah, with that. And then you got to put the condom on and you're going to be fine.
He doesn't know about putting condoms on.
Well, it's his microphone.
Yeah, but
it's stinky. He doesn't want to put his mouth on that microphone.
Well, I don't think he puts his mouth on it.
Well, he puts it pretty close.
I think we all know.
And you see how he holds it?
I don't know.
He does that a lot.
I think we know Lance has an avoidance of condoms. We know that to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, so anyway, stops. He puts his nose right on it.
Stop smelling it. You
stop
know it
smelling
stinks.
It. Terrible. Who's got bad breath? Who sits there?
I don't know. These seem like new mic. No, they seem like new mic things too. But anyway, this is something. I mean, literally zero people care about this except AD, who's like. But anyway, no.
Well,
what are you saying? What are you saying about?
I mean,
the,
people care about your stinky mic. Mic cover.
No, they don't.
So So anyway, yeah, man, just. I think you put it best. You got to read the room, Drew.
Well, let's play what Drew Brees said. So, for a lot of people, they're not going to know because this is something that a lot of people have just checked out on the news altogether. Drew Brees was on a Yahoo Finance Zoom call. You know, this is something for the digital side of Yahoo Finance, and I don't even know what he was on there for. To be honest with you, what didn't even
he's got a lot of money. I'm sure if I'm a financial guy, I'd like, hey, Drew. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think that's like, hey, how much money do you have? It was.
Well, no.
I don't know
what you're doing with that money. What you doing with it?
What you doing with that money,
well, everyone's going to know. What are you doing with your money now?
Yeah, right.
So the question.
That would have been a better answer for Drew.
I didn't care before what he was talking about. Yahoo Finance. I'm worried about my bread right now. So, I don't know. Drew was asked about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling. Now, Drew has had a. Like a lot of players, we're kind of rewriting history a little bit. There's been a pretty consistent level of some players have been for the kneeling, some have not been. I would say more have been for, always. Drew was a lock arm guy with the New Orleans Saints. You remember they locked arms, the New Orleans Saints did. I can't remember. I think Cam Jordan used to take a knee, may have not. You may remember the taking a knee thing, just to refresh everyone, that was for a year, Colin Kaepernick and some players, not all players. It really wasn't.
No.
The first year. Then it kind of died down towards the end of the year. It was a big topic, obviously, and he did raise awareness to the issue. And then as it was dying down, it really died down the entire at the very end of that year, which was what, 16, I think. Then, it may have been 17. No, it was 16. So then, before 17, out of nowhere, Trump goes on a tirade about these son of a bitches, and the whole thing explodes again. Out of nowhere,
yeah.
The whole thing explodes again, and this time it's much, much, much bigger. But I think it did benefit President Trump in terms of rallying his base. It was an intentional move, I would say. It felt like it to me. But I don't know. So it rallied the players, rallied the team.
I'm sure he thinks that far ahead, but okay.
Well, forced teams. Well, I think he knows how to just get people.
Yeah.
I say to get people, you know, my
well,
side
I think
worked
he
up.
Thinks that it doesn't matter what he thinks. He's going to say it or tweet it
and listen,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I've been part of the sports talk conversation, listening and having an opinion in this. And, you know, my opinions from the very beginning to now have changed and altered over time because I thought it was much more respectful once he actually took a knee. I thought it was much more respectful for him to protest something than just sitting down and just ignoring or whatever. And I thought Colin Kaepernick went through the proper channels with Nate Boyer. They had a discussion. Like, in other words, he showed respect to the issue. of what other people had with him.
Right.
And his issue, obviously, is frankly, a little bigger issue than if your feelings are hurt that he's taking a knee during a flag. I mean, during the national anthem. But I understand and respect people's opinions who have. My dad has an opinion. He fought in Vietnam. He has a certain feeling.
We got AJ here who fought, and he feels
the other way. I thought
no. He feels like the reason I fought is so you can kneel during a national anthem.
Yeah. See, and for my dad, who is older generation, fought in Vietnam. He's a little different. He's like, hey, you know, that's I did put my life on the line, and so people see it differently.
I don't think
that's ever going to change.
It's not going to change.
It's not going to change. It's an emotional argument, and the way you view it is different. But so Drew has that, and I think we're going to get into what he said. And
well, let's hear it. Let's hear what Drew said.
Let's do that.
Let's hear what Drew said.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
So here's the deal. Here's the problem is that he gives no empathy to the cause, and that's a problem. And now I think George Floyd's death really has changed the narrative. And now we look at a peaceful protest like what Colin Kaepernick did and say, you know what? Wasn't so bad.
Oh, I've seen people respond that way. I've kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
Before anyway, because if your feelings are really hurt by this, I understand you not being, I just didn't think it should have caused the level of anger and frustrations to me, you know, just accept it. Disrespecting the flag, I think it's too, I don't think it's disrespecting the flag personally.
Here's what I've always thought about this, is that it's great, it's fine, but I think that choosing the flag and choosing the anthem really sidetracked the issue. It became more about that, which is a problem. It became more about that than what he was trying to achieve and what he was trying to get the focus on. And the focus should be on what happened with George Floyd and what's happened to too many African Americans with the police here in this country. As opposed to, it became about the flag. And that to me, it really overshadowed everything that he was trying to do.
What if I told you, let you in on this little secret, that he did and said exactly what he wanted? Bleep your country.
Yeah.
I don't think he tried to sidetrack it. I think he was saying, look,
and
bleep your country because this is happening, has been happening for years. And I think that's what he was doing on purpose.
Well, right. Maybe. You know what? And that flag doesn't mean to me what it means to you, but it means so much to so many people, and what it means to Drew Brees is that, and you're not going to change that, and you're not going to change that in a lot of people. You can still empathize. Here's the problem: is you can still empathize in what's happened to George Floyd and what's happened to the African American community and what's still going on all these years after that we've been a country with African Americans here. But you can still love the flag. See, and that's Drew unfortunately didn't say that. I can, you know what? I can't emphasize. That's the problem, is he didn't show any empathy. And that's the problem right here, is he still loves his flag, and he can still love his flag.
Yeah.
We can't stop Drew Brees from loving the flag and thinking what he thinks of the flag. And we shouldn't stop that.
You shouldn't try to harness. There's a lot of self-censorship that is going on right now with people who are afraid to say this or that, or people who are being quote-unquote canceled for saying this and that. We have to be careful about limiting people's ability to speak, even when you don't like the opinions. I think incendiary commentary is that's not what I'm talking about. Things that are all speeches. Listen to me, and this may sound like I'm anti-constitution, which I'm actually not. I just think we live in a time now where there's intentional divisive speech that is being done with malice and with reason, with intent. I'm not, I mean, I just, I think we have to really be careful of that. That, what he had was not, that's free speech that you need to allow people to have their freedoms of opinion without just completely freaking out. The problem is, but however, Drew Brees has got to understand that the first thing he should be doing right now, just from a PR standpoint, just understanding, reading the room, mm-hmm. is there needs to be a level of empathy specifically for his teammates and the players he plays with and his brothers in the locker room. Because that is a camaraderie that is a deep...
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear this with military people and sports people. They had a certain perception of another race, and from black or white or Hispanic or whatever. They had a certain perception of race. They get in there. They have a common goal. They find that they are common people, a commonality, and that that's something that binds them together and allows them to transcend where they came from, right? But what Drew did now is he kind of unwittingly, he broke that camaraderie by not showing some level of solidarity, even though I think his wording could have been way better. The way that he did it could have been way better. I respect his right to have an opinion. I don't think he meant anything to upset people. But the phrase disrespect the flag, Malcolm Jenkins, so many people now see it differently now who saw it a certain way before. And I think they're probably, you probably have people like me cringe and like saying, this is so much bigger than disrespecting the flag, Drew. This is not what this has been about for most people. It's really not about, for some people it is. Yeah, they're unhappy with the country, don't like the country. But you know what? That's also their right to voice and to feel that way. It works both ways. Your freedom of speech and freedom of opinion works both ways, not just to protect Drew Brees, but for people like Arian Foster, who had a much different take when he was on Pardon My Take about how he said, I don't feel lovey-dovey and I don't have the great feelings that happens during National Anthem. Good friend of mine who I speak with on a regular basis, who's African-American. I asked him about this when it first started. He said, I stand, I show respect. He said, but no. He said, I don't. He goes, I just don't feel the same way during a national anthem. He said, and I don't. And he goes, and I respect the country. I respect police officers, all that stuff. He goes, I just don't have the same feelings probably that you do. For me, I mean, you know, no. I don't know what my feel. I'm not one of these people like, oh, you know, the national anthem is. I know how it was started during, what was it, World War I, World War II, right? World War II at baseball games is when it first started to elevate the patriotism in the country. That's how it started at sporting events. Yeah. It didn't used to be that way.
See, look at this. There's Drew disrespecting the flag. He's on a knee with his teammates.
Well, hold on a second. Is that during an injury?
Is that it might be.
Might be during an injury.
Oh,
people
I don't
may have
know.
Taken that out of context. Well, those are offensive linemen right next to him.
Yeah, those are offensive linemen. Everybody in the stands are standing.
Oh,
Yeah.
Maybe. Is everyone standing because Trump's making an appearance at the game?
They did lock arms, I know. I don't remember the Saints all kneeling. It could have been even before the national anthem. It could have been. Remember, they would take
a moment of silence.
Some teams took a moment of
silence. Somebody may have taken that picture out of
it. I don't know. You never know.
I don't trust. Is that from Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got to do background checks on everything Twitter says now.
Okay. 714 ESPN 97.5. Bill O'Brien made a lot of good points yesterday as well.
Some of you may have to put your Bill O'Brien mad away for a little bit.
He won the day. I don't think there's any question. Bill O'Brien, good. Drew Brees, bad.
Mike Norvell, maybe even worse.
Who?
Mike Norvell.
Mike Norvell. Oh,
Can I tell you how happy
he is?
Look, it broke late last night, so a lot of you don't know.
Yeah, you
don't know.
Know
about this.
Oh, wait till you hear it. Florida State is in trouble, so Dell's happy today. 714 ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is, don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those, and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
You know my only problem with this? I have
Drew, you've been told.
I have two. One, now, first of all, Malcolm Jenkins is known as a league leader.
Yeah.
In
Well, yeah, no, Malcolm will come hair. After you. No, Malcolm has come after guys plenty.
Who did Malcolm before. Get into? Did Malcolm get into it with Kaepernick?
He and Eric Reed had back and forth about it.
Yeah, Eric Reed got into it. Where Eric Reed was kind of pissed at, like, he didn't think Malcolm Jenkins was doing enough. Because
Malcolm thought they were getting it became about them as opposed to being about the cause.
Yeah, Malcolm has been down for the cause more than the people the whole time, which is, you know, probably the right thing. I think if you that's the argument could be made, that's what Kaepernick is supposed to be about as well. So if he is, then that's the case too. Malcolm Jenkins is a team leader. Malcolm Jenkins is a leader in this conversation and has been from the beginning. So in one sense, I understand that he feels like he has to speak up because that's his teammate. People are going to – if he doesn't do it preemptively – or proactively, he's going to be asked. It's going to come up. I would hope that in this world we live in, that he could have picked up a phone and immediately called Drew Brees and said, Drew, what, you know, express yourself man-to-man with Drew Brees, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole thing that I want. Just if one person can take this from anything I say and I end up dying by a lightning strike, which will happen at some point tomorrow, I hope at least one person picks up a phone and calls somebody.
Said? Tomorrow?
He predicted June 5th, Gilbert predicted 2020?
He did predict it.
Was it 2020?
No, 2027, I think.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, I think he said 2027.
So it's not tomorrow then. Why are you going
to... I know, but...
You could get struck by lightning, but maybe not die.
Here's my daughter. Or somebody saw me freak out. Oh, my brother-in-law and brother saw me. I mean, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law saw me freak out with lightning. My daughter's outside. As soon as it rains, she puts on a raincoat, goes and gets on her metal scooter, the whatever the scooters are called, and just start scooting around. I'm like, what are you doing? You're riding a human lightning rod. Get off of that. And I can't believe I said, Marty. And my wife said, you can talk to her without freaking out. I said, okay, Marty, you're riding on basically something that is going to attract a lightning strike. Can you please stop riding around intentionally through the rain and lightning?
Not everybody
should. I honestly, I don't want to sidetrack this too much because I had something going, but now lightning's got me. People need to be more afraid of lightning. Have y'all not seen the videos? What is wrong with you people who walk around?
We were on the 12th, and it all of a sudden, man, the whole sky lit up, but I had to make that putt. I mean, there's no chance I was leaving that green with that lightning rod in my hand until I made that putt. Okay. The whole, you should have seen this. It just lit up. We were like, holy crap.
I'm telling you now.
But
why people wouldn't,
if it didn't deluge, we would have teed off on the next hole. But it did.
I know people have seen lightning strikes. I know they have. I know they've seen them hit people like I have because everyone at me with lightning stuff on Twitter. That's one of the reasons I have to get rid of Twitter because I can't stand seeing all this lightning stuff too.
So
that's another
thing. I hope no one sends you lightning strikes today.
It's just a regular day. It
really?
Doesn't matter.
Really?
I get one every day.
Art?
Lance, there's Lamont, a story about a Lamont, lightning killing 700 cattle.
Yeah.
No, it's like Dez does it.
Dez.
Dan Holden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry.
It's not Dan Holden.
Tom Downtown.
Yeah.
There's a whole crew that lightnings me up. But anyway.
Steve. Let's go.
So the one thing I hope that somebody takes is that instead of just pick up a phone and have a conversation with somebody that you don't talk to, go to lunch with them, go have somebody who looks different than you or somebody who you don't maybe necessarily agree with, and then listen to what they say. And in both ways, black to white to black. I know that right now this issue is less about, you know, a white guy saying, well, you need to hear my feelings on this. But at some point, there needs to be a back and forth conversation and dialogue. I really hope at some point it gets to that with people. I'm not hopeful necessarily, but even if one or two people can forget what they see on news stories and social media and go have their own reality by actually living their life like we used to do, where conversations were had, where communication was way better, I hope that eventually happens again. And Malcolm Jenkins isn't a young guy. He's in his 30s. I guess he is. Drew Brees isn't a young guy. Those guys have to be able to pick up a phone, too. So I hope that Malcolm Jenkins, besides just going on social media, I hope that as a team leader, that he called another team leader and had a discussion that was private and not for public consumption.
You know what? The other side would say, Drew, this has been going on for years now, in multiple years. What do I have to say to you?
What?
And to John's point, I don't know how much convincing it's going to take because it doesn't sound like Drew Brees has changed his mind.
But Drew Brees has issued
Drew Brees' apology.
He has issued an apology.
He's issued an apology. I'd like to apologize to my friends, teammates, City of New Orleans.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
The black community.
Whoa. Before you do
NFL
this,
community, anyone I heard.
You're going to have to do the picture, too. You're going to have to do a description of the picture. Well, it's an Instagram.
It's a black and white hand locked. Yeah.
It's a picture of a black hand and a white hand locked in, I guess, unity.
Yeah, him, right. Him and a teammate probably.
It's probably
one of many that he had.
No, he pulled that off the internet.
Yeah, that's a
images.
It's a stock photo.
What did the search look like?
Black and white hand.
Black white hand. Holding handshake.
Hand.
Unity.
Yes, handshake.
Search images.
No. It breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth, and it's not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. It's blah, blah. It's long. Well, anyway, comments. Nah, open the purse, biatch. They don't want to hear it.
Open the purse.
Open the purse.
Donate to causes, I guess is what that
you
means.
You're going to have to. Drew, guess what? Out of that $25 million you just signed for, guess how much is going?
That's smart for him to do that, though, immediately, which is, it's in this day and age, it's fairly immediate.
Too late. You're saying it because the backlash you're getting. You're not fooling nobody.
Don't read Instagram comments.
Este es mi héroe. Hey, how about that? Yeah. Don't need to apologize.
Yeah, what do you think the comments are going to say? Yeah, They're all negative. So, comments are all negative. Drew at least is making an attempt, which is it's the right thing to do. It's not the smart thing. It is a smart thing, but more importantly, it's the right thing to try to.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't empathetic, and to show that
that's
he lacked empathy, this is a show of some empathy. But to your point, Del, to finish this discussion, I still think that two grown men can have the same discussion, and I don't know if they have had a previous discussion. Well, I don't know.
Do you have any? Does anybody have a problem with Malcolm Jenkins coming out on Instagram as opposed to calling Drew Brees?
I think you do both.
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard any. Oh, you mean between us three or just overall? Does anyone have a problem?
Yeah. I mean, this is such a. You're right. How about we talk to each other? Why?
No one's going to say. I guess Malcolm, John, go. You know,
no, you know what I ain't going to do? I ain't going to put it on Instagram.
I'm extremely disappointed with my friend at Chad Clay.
Yeah.
Is it Malcolm Jenkins' responsibility to respond to call Drew Brees about this issue? Is it because
they're grown men and teammates.
That's fine. But Dale, they can be.
Well, here's the deal, though. I guess because Drew's was public, then Malcolm has to respond publicly.
It's not that, but for as important as this issue is to Malcolm Jenkins, and whatever he felt he needed to say and make it a public statement, does he think
I need to take time out of my day to talk to Drew Brees about
your
this.
Your day's not what's going
I don't
on
know.
With your day right
well,
now.
I don't know what he's involved in, so I don't know. But if you're Malcolm Jenkins...
Well, you took time to make it public. You, can, well, you can't I, take time to call Drew
well,
Brees.
Well, maybe he thinks responding publicly is more important than talking to a guy who should have gotten
do,
this
but
already.
But you can do both as much. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could. I get it, but I
maybe
heard,
he did, maybe he
we
did.
Don't know. I don't know. He sounds heard, like he said, shut the bleep up.
I have heard other people say... It's not time for black people to continue to have these conversations. It should be. It shouldn't be a conversation. It should be pretty simple. That's what I've heard.
I think that's kind of played to just say we want people to understand. You want the whole thing is building a dialogue. If awareness and dialogue is important for some people, they don't. They just wanted to separate the boundaries and separate this and let's. But that's a teammate. That's a guy that you have respect for. I don't think Drew is a malicious guy. He has an opinion. I don't think it's wrong to expect a grown man to call another grown man if you have an issue with them, and especially if you're a teammate and if you're somebody who has had a common goal. I think especially if you have had a level of respect for a guy in a leadership and you're in a leadership position, I think both of them can happen. Malcolm is in a position where he has to say something publicly in this day and age because he is one of the faces of the NFL's response or the player's response. Yep. I'm just saying from grown man to grown man, I don't think it's outrageous. And maybe once again, maybe it did happen.
Oh, and we don't know their history if they've had this conversation multiple times and it hadn't stuck and Malcolm Jenkins is just tired. We don't know. We don't know their
background. I don't know. I'm just saying I just think it's okay for two grown men on a football team to have a conversation behind
Here's
the
a more pertinent question. Which is a more insensitive logo, Lance? The Chargers logo or the Redskins logo for you?
Well, I think the Redskins.
Are you sure? Because you talk about lightning like it's the worst thing.
Yeah, that is true.
So which one is more insensitive?
True. Yeah.
Which one? Which one is more offensive?
Chargers. Look at this lightning. Do you know how many people? Lightning is killed. Lightning kills people.
Yeah.
It's true.
And
I
lions,
never thought of it
don't
that way.
Lions kill people?
No, lions are trying to mind their own business.
No,
though.
They kill
if
people.
If you bleep
oh,
with
did,
lions.
Did somebody lose their arm because of a lion? Yeah.
That was a tiger, I think.
Same thing.
Here, let me
now
you
can't,
in your cage.
You can't tell the difference between a lion and a tiger?
What about a liger? You don't know nothing about them?
I saw
they
them.
Mate.
The ligers are freaks of nature.
Here you go. Mm. Let me feed you in your cage.
Just for the sake of being correct. Don't stop doing
don't
that.
Don't do that.
Stop doing that with your... It was Eric Reed who came after Malcolm Jenkins.
He did. They almost had a fight on
the
field.
They almost went to blows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. About what?
It was Eric Reed.
What did Eric
he
Reed
He believes say? The coalition has both betrayed the principles of the movement and denied former quarterback Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, because they were
Because Jenkins apparently was part of a coalition that was trying, I guess, it was called the co-founder of the Players Coalition, performed a key role in brokering an unprecedented $89 million social justice partnership with the NFL. But Reed thinks it kicked Kaepernick to the curb.
But then Malcolm Jenkins said, hey, this isn't about you. Remember, this isn't supposed to be about you. That's how it ended
that's
up.
Why, that's how it ended up. 731 ESPN 97.5. This is about Chastain Ford. And these are my peeps. I love the Chastains, and you will love the Chastains, too. What the Chastains do is they bring you those Ford car and trucks. And by the way, you know, I'm in the Expedition right now. The Explorer Sport, the Expedition, the F-150s, the F-250s, the Rangers, I'm telling you, it just doesn't get any better than Ford built. And listen, you know, with the stopping production, there's going to be a limited amount of new cars. This is the time. This is a great time for you to buy. This is a great time for you to pick up on 84 months of interest-free payments. That's ridiculous, people. If you are making payments now with interest, this is the time to go trade in and get to Chastain Ford and let them put you in that vehicle, the vehicle that you can afford to pay every month. Because the first thing they're going to say is, okay, where do you have to be with your payments? Because that's the most important thing, to make sure that it's not a burden. It's just your payment, and it doesn't have to hamstring you. So get to Chastain Ford. They're going to take care of you. You'll love them. You'll love doing business with them. It's on 610, just east of downtown. It's two exits east of 59 on 610, Homestead, not Hempstead, or go to ChastainFord.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 735 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You have thoughts? Joe was here a little while ago. If Joe, if you want to come back in, we'll get you on here as soon as we can. Bill O'Brien also spoke out yesterday when he was introducing Michael Thomas, not the really, really good receiver, who probably doesn't want to be in New Orleans anymore because he's Drew Brees' teammate.
And if we hadn't traded for Brandon Cooks, maybe we could trade for Michael Thomas.
Not right now. Okay, we could give up four firsts for Michael Thomas. Okay?
Sure.
I mean, we don't need those. We don't need any draft picks till 2030 or 35, whatever.
Aaron Rodgers came out yesterday. It's never been about an anthem or a flag. Not then, not now. Now, yeah. I think that's been Aaron's position the whole time.
Yeah.
But, like, right now, yes. Cred points just went,
oh, yeah.
The curating.
Oh, no.
The curating just, sorry, Drew.
Hey, and so did Bill O'Brien's. Bill O'Brien's Q rating went way up yesterday.
And Bill O'Brien, before you hear this, Bill O'Brien, the general manager and sometime tyrant in that building, not a fan of that stuff. Not a fan of the attitude and the personality. Not a fan of cussing out fans. Not a fan of any of that stuff. And then I just fundamentally don't agree with him as a general manager. I don't think he's capable of doing that job. I just fundamentally don't. Forget the personal stuff or the personality stuff. I don't think he's good at that because I don't think he has the background or the knowledge or the experience to do it. Now, Bill O'Brien off the field, I've heard a lot of great things about him. I've had some interaction that's been positive with him. I think Bill O'Brien off the field and outside of that building is a different dude mm-hmm. and a guy who has deals with a lot of stress with some things, in, you know, with his own son, Jack, that is can be tough and challenging for any family who deals with that. And I think Bill O'Brien, the person, though, I've heard nothing about the, but good things about him in just standard yep. settings that people come. And I think you have, too.
I have, too.
I do think you can have both. The guy in the building and the actual person who I'd want. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you can have both.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not one. Or he's not a villain. He is actually what I've seen of him. And I did an event with him. I emceed an event where he raising money and his heartfelt message about his son Jack and mm-hmm. and his empathy for everyone who is in the situation that he is in was touching. It really was. And you know, I've heard exactly the same things. And we saw this yesterday. Here's Bill O'Brien yesterday introducing, before he introduced Michael Thomas, he had some
Michael
of this,
Thomas,
the safety.
The safety, yeah.
I think as a white head football coach in the National Football League, it's important to speak out. There is real pain in statements, and statements can't really take the pain away. I understand that. It's just deeper. You know, on the phone yesterday with the friend of mine that I was telling you about earlier, it's so much deeper. It's so much deeper. It's 400 years ago, slavery. It's segregation. It's police brutality. It's not equal opportunities. It's so much deeper. It's deeper. And we have to stand with the black community, and we have to heed the call to action and challenge each other to live out the change that we want to see.
Yeah, it was heartfelt. I mean, he went on for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say it's longer than that.
It's much longer than that. And he was very. I mean, it was good. It was really, really good. I mean, this is a time. I mean, you could go one direction. You can go to the Drew Brees direction, which is not advisable. Or you could go the Bill O'Brien direction. And you know what? His players, I think, will say, man, that's good stuff. Now I hope he makes better trades.
In small print. Was he asked or did he just were those just his opening comments?
That's his opening comments.
Okay, because Drew Brees didn't have that particular advantage. He was asked, I think, directly about kneeling in the flag. So, of course, Drew Brees went on to be Drew Brees. But O'Brien was allowed, I'm not taking anything away, but the difference is O'Brien was allowed to have composed thoughts and say what he wanted to say. Drew Brees was like, you can ask me about the flag? I got thoughts about the flag. Don't ever kneel.
And now Malcolm Jenkins is telling him to shut the F up.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Mm-hmm. No, he's got the.
Well, you can't use both your hands. I would have to come in there.
Me.
Can you come in here so we can do a hand grab?
I can do it.
No.
Del.
If you miss the previous segment.
No, you can't.
Del, I can do it.
No, you can't.
I'm right here.
Stop saying stuff. I'm
one guy from Italy, one guy with roots in Germany.
In Germany, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you mean the Axis? Oh, you mean the Axis powers are getting together and talking about unity?
Yeah, unity.
So
you won't be able to tell because.
No, I mean Drew. So here's how I think this is going to play out. Drew will take some more heat. It will kind of go away for a little bit. It'll spark up again whenever camp starts up. Drew will make an official statement or a press conference, take some. He will be smarter about how he answers. I don't want Drew to change his opinion unless he feels that way. I don't want anyone to feel like they're bullied into changing their opinions about stuff if they have a legitimate opinion about something. It is called freedom of speech, and I want people to have that without being censored or bullied. I mean, Twitter has allowed for that a little bit more, but this is more nuanced. This is a frustration with a guy who doesn't understand what the cause is about. I've always felt that frustration for people who understood, like, why do y'all keep making this just about the anthem and the flag when there are, you know, there are innocent people who have been killed? When I say innocent, maybe they were guilty of their crimes, but this does, that should not be a – Eric Garner shouldn't be dead because he was selling loose cigarettes in New York. Mm-hmm. That's not a death sentence. I mean, what kind of – you know, don't work backwards to find out why it happened and how it was to so that you can make excuses for it. That's ridiculous. And that's what the frustration comes for a lot of – not to speak for everyone of – color, but I mean that's the frustration that I read, that I hear, is, man, why is it always as soon as there's people are upset about somebody dying over something like loose cigarettes because of a chokehold or whatever, does it roll back into, well, why did that happen? And let's see if we can get to a point where he goes, oh, here it is. That's why it had to happen, because of this. I think there's a frustration. And so when you talk about disrespecting the flag, for some people, Malcolm Jenkins, you could hear it. He's just, if you saw the video, you could really see it. I'm sure you guys saw it.
He had to
it.
Stop a few times.
Like, he was legitimately just beyond, and it probably hurt more because it's on his team and a guy that he respects a lot. And he is the leader of the Saints. This is the leader of New Orleans. You know, Drew took some heat. Do you know about the heat he took? Did you follow up on that at all? I thought it was kind of BS a little bit. But Drew had backed... It was a kind of like a Houston Press, but in New Orleans, a type of newspaper. It was kind of, you know, like a not a street newspaper, but it wasn't the Times-Picayune or whatever. It was a secondary newspaper, and somebody called him out for basically tried to call him out for being homophobic, which I don't think that was a fair representation at all. And I have to go back and read the story to remind myself.
Apparently he's aligned or he has a relationship with a group called Focus on the Family.
Right.
He shot a video, Bring Your Bible to School Today, and apparently that group is known for its anti-LGBTQ stance. So whether Drew, I don't think the video was about that, but
it
he was aligned with the group that's
and
about that.
Look what Del's wearing today, his LGBT.
Well, it's a Long Beach State hat.
It's a Long Beach State
But if you like... If you
in
look,
Georgia Tech, I think he's got on the side, LGBT.
That's a weird hat.
But Drew's
to have.
Whole thing was, I was filming the thing about bringing your Bible to school is all I was doing for a group. And so another group... Now, it didn't go crazy in New Orleans. It was an op-ed. It didn't go crazy, but he faced some there. Drew is a guy who has done a lot for New Orleans financially. Mm-hmm. Just donated $5 million for COVID relief in New Orleans. He has a lot of cachet built up. I don't think that this is going to end his career or the way people love him in New Orleans. But he does have to do what he did, I guess this morning is when he did it. I don't know. He is going to have to do that. And he is going to have to make amends with some of his teammates. And I think that was a good start to it. And he's been a good dude. You know, as a player, as a man, as a leader, as someone in that city, especially after Katrina, who meant so much, that he's got some work to do. But I think he's somebody who can survive it there. But
he'll be fine if they win. He'll be fine.
Yeah, but to bring it back to Bill O'Brien, I was happy to hear, because Bill O'Brien does speak from the heart. One thing you can't say he is, he's not measured, calculated, and phony in terms of how he talks. Bill tells you what he's thinking. And when I hear that, all I hear is a guy just speaking directly from his heart. You got to remember, these coaches also deal with, well, past break. We got to get to a break. We got a lot of time to talk about this. Eric is on the line right now. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Especially if you want to talk about Bill O'Brien and his comments at all. We played a shorter version, but if you heard them, if you say it doesn't change your opinion at all, or if it does, let us know.
Yep. In the meantime, we got John Clay Wolf with us here. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. How'd your little auction go yesterday?
It went really, really well. I was like, it's the cars are like toilet paper right as COVID came down. Something's weird going on with the used car market. We went, you know, from S to Shinola. We were all going to die a bloody death 2 months ago, and now we're all like, high cotton. I don't know why. The manufacturers quit making new ones in right. March, and I think it unbalanced the system pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So the used car prices went up. So we're paying more now than we were before Corona started.
Wow. So this is a great time to sell your car, right?
Yeah.
Now, are we going to have a shortage of new cars because of the stoppage in production?
Already do.
Yeah. So this is a great time for you because guys like John Clay Wolf are looking for cars, man. And if you're looking to, if you need to get out, especially people now that don't have car payment, that can't afford the car payments, this is a great time to get out of them.
Well, it's our customers. I see loved one that's deceased or elderly doesn't drive anymore. That's the obvious. The third or second car, the rich guy with a Ferrari. You know, a lot of those Ferraris and Lamborghinis and exotics we buy, Renato. Those guys, when we get to their house to pick it up, a lot of times that's not the only one sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's like, you know, if you got enough money to stroke a $200,000 check to just sit on it, you've got enough to stroke three of them. But a lot of times these guys have these little mini collections going on. And we bought a 97 993, which is the last year the air-cooled, no, 98 993 Porsche with 20,000 original miles in Austin. Went to the guy's house. It's a 27,000 square foot mansion. He buys this car new. It's on the original title. I mean, it's a 98 model. I mean, it's like a Barrett Jackson kind of car. But my point is, those kind of cars, you know, don't sell us your car if you don't have anything to drive. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, get something to drive. GiveMeTheVin.com. You know how to sell that car, no matter how expensive. GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
749 ESPN 97.5. All right, we've gotten to, okay, Bill O'Brien, we've heard some of that. Obviously, the Drew Brees stuff. Mike Norvell, head coach at Florida State. Look at Del. Del's all excited. So he was asked, what'd you guys do? Tayshaun Reed, who was used to cover Florida State, now he covers the Raiders.
He's going to move on to cover the Raiders.
He asked Mike Norvell, so what did you as a coaching staff do with the players? And here was Mike Norvell's quote. We've had a lot of open communication with our team, our players, and our coaches. I went back and forth individually with every player this weekend, and that was something that was important to me because this is a heartbreaking time in our country. You see hate, and you see discrimination, you see some of the acts that have occurred. I mean, it is a problem, and that's something that we have to stand together, and we have to work to get fixed. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on, and it's, well, it's thoughtful, and it's all that stuff. Well, that was tweeted out. And this was also tweeted out by Marvin Wilson, who's from Episcopal High School. Marvin Wilson said, "No, man, one-on-one." Do you got his quote? Because
I got it right here.
Yeah,
man, this poo emoji did not happen, man. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and Coach. This is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged, and we will not be working out until further notice. 100. Hashtag Huncho out.
He's head huncho on Twitter, at Marvin Wilson 21.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. This is a lie. Me and my teammates as a whole are outraged and will not be working out until further notice.
How does Norvell fix this? If he can.
That's a problem.
Well, the only way you can is you got to go talk to The only way you can fix anything is to actually go talk to people. So that's the only way he fixes it, and we'll see if he does.
Is he going
to
fix it, though? Can he fix it?
I think he can, but it'll be tough if he doesn't. I think in this particular climate, and when I say that, I mean with pandemic, I mean, well, I've seen people who kind of just ignore it now. So maybe college athletes will be like that also in mass and teams where you're just not going to see as much concern. But unless you're in front of people, unless you're there, unless everyone's around you, it's a whole lot harder with distance. And these are guys that he doesn't know. Remember that now. He's a new coach. So I think it can be fixed, but I think he's got to get in there and start doing the fixing pretty quickly before it festers. And how do you do that right now when you don't have access?
I don't know. I mean, people are fed up.
Marvin's just going to give him a hootis text back.
People are upset and fed up, and they're not looking for fakes with this particular issue.
Yeah.
And that comes off as extremely fake, or at least you're lying about something.
Yeah.
So it's going to be...
You're saying you did more than you did. That's bad.
You're going to get in front of all those guys who may have really
strong
feelings.
Why would you say I had a one-on-one with every player?
Because he wasn't prepared for the question. What did you do individually? He's probably prepared, okay, I'm prepared for what do you
think
about...
Yeah, but you know that it's a lot. That's all you have to do is go to one of the players and say, okay, what about your one-on-one?
I didn't have no one-on-one. He Costanza did it. Yeah. We had individual, and I went one-on-one in his own mind thinking,
ooh, whoa.
They probably won't read this, right? This is going to be on a Raiders site probably or something. I'm sure this won't
Yeah, because in his response or the transcribed response, I don't see him talking about, oh, I had a text conversation with players. He didn't even say that. He said I had a
one-on-one,
a back and forth individually with every player, which is outright lie contextually. It means I feel like he had a sit down whether on Zoom or whatever and talk with these guys, and Marvin Wilson's like, nah, he just sent us a generated text. It's a flat out lie, according to Marvin Wilson.
He's just said, all he texted was, that was bad, guys.
Be ready, be in shape when we get back on campus.
Do you guys work out today?
Appreciate it. Make sure whatever their hashtag is for Florida State, he probably dropped that in the text too.
Yeah,
it's a bad look, man.
I don't know how you
get in front of them all you want, but you in this particular subject, people ain't looking for you for that action. You lying about that,
and you're brand new, and that's a senior. Now, I talked to his coach, Coach Lease, over here at Episcopal. I said, why'd Marvin go? He said he did not want to leave the program. Literally, he did not want to leave the program the way he left, the way it was.
That's commendable.
Yes.
That's commendable because, a guy who did something similar was, come on, memory. You can do it. From Auburn. Come on, Lance.
Who from Auburn?
D-tackle.
Derrick Brown?
Derrick Brown, thank you.
Okay.
Look, I didn't even get real coffee today. I got this piece of crap can.
This is nothing.
This has like 3 grams of or whatever milligrams of caffeine. Who cares? Can I just get a caffeine pill? I think it's just called meth, but
it is amphetamine. You can get one of those.
I can't get them, but
I got a guy.
I don't want a guy. I'll just keep drinking coffee. Thanks. Derrick Brown went back to school and raised his draft stock, but also he said he had something to prove. Marvin Wilson, I wrote him up because I thought for sure he's going.
Yeah.
And in a class when it wasn't deep at defensive tackle, Marvin Wilson would have been first round.
He would have been a first round.
For sure.
He knew that. He said, no, I'm not leaving this program. I got a lot of respect for Marvin
going back and saying, because he had business to take care of. That's why he's probably not for the BS this year. I came back and I passed up on for sure money early to come be part of this. So we need to have some honesty jumping off, coach. I think Norvell didn't mean anything other than I want to look better than what is actually going on. I don't know that Norvell didn't do enough or whatever, but you lied when given a chance to just say, and what he was ready for is, what do you think about the George Floyd situation? I think it's an outrage. What have you done? I wasn't on the, I'm not prepared for that. No. Okay. To your question about what do I think about George Floyd? No. What have you done? Oh, hold on. I'm going through a tunnel.
Coach, you're in your house.
I'm not ready for this question.
Hello?
Coach,
hello?
I know you're in your house.
Tayshaun? Hello?
Do you think this is... what, Eric, do you think this is? Let's get him in here.
Hopefully the good one.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, I'll run through three quick points and then I'll hang up and listen. I want to applaud Bill O'Brien for the way he opened that by saying as a white coach, because what we see is a group of coaches that are kind of standing back because of fear of retribution. Now, that retribution comes from that not the Yahoos, but one half of the population jumped up and screamed, yeah, when the president said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. See, this, we're not all in this together. And that's how the narrative gets hijacked. That's why if you go up to the base and says, is injustice an American value, they know that they have to say no. But what they can say is looting is wrong. What they can say is kneeling is offensive. See, the narrative gets hijacked. When John, you say, well, Kaepernick was trying to do this, but then it went another way. Well, that's because the narrative got hijacked by those who can't say that injustice is okay, because they truly believe it. Half of this country believes that that injustice is okay, but they can't say it. So they have to talk about the looting. They have to talk about the kneeling. But they can't say that this is wrong because they believe it's okay. It's not us. It's them. And that's just fine. Keep them down. Keep them down. So when Bill O'Brien begins by saying we white coaches need to think about something deeper, I agree with him and I applaud him, because we've got a bunch of college coaches right now that don't want to say anything because they know that the base buys tickets too. And the base is not all in this together. We're not all in this together. Timothy McVeigh was a military man. Most of our domestic terrorists come from the military. This idea that in sports in the military that we all stand for each other. No, those guys are cultivated. Their racism is cultivated in the military. They go look at other cultures and they come back with nothing but a despising nature. So this idea that somehow sports and military bring us all together and we work as one, that's not the fact. That's not the truth, because we are a divided country, and half of the people in this country cheered the president for saying when the looting starts, the shooting starts. The narrative gets hijacked because we can't say that we agree with injustice. That's my point.
All right, Eric, appreciate it. Yeah, you may very well be right. I think college, I don't think, one thing about that, what you just said, is I don't think people think that deeply about it. I mean, I don't think people, we are going to hijack this because we don't want to face the issue that is facing the African American community. I think that people honestly, just felt like the American flag was being disrespected.
I think for I firmly
believe it. I don't know, listen, I know a lot of white people, and I've never heard anybody say, well, we got to stop this message from getting across.
But he had two different things. One was the flag, but his other thing was, and I guarantee you, the looting, shooting stuff in half the country, you're not accurate with that.
No,
I'm just telling you.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
I'm just telling you. I know it feels that way, that it's 50-50 country, but it's not. That's more on your side. Number two, I don't think coaches would have a big flashback. I do see what you're saying. If it's a nuanced, yes, you are right. There are some coaches who don't want any smoke from their fan base. I don't think right now, if you're just looking at it from a PR standpoint, I don't think there's anyone who's going to take a big hit PR-wise by coming out against what happened to George Floyd and against police brutality. I don't think there – do you think – and, Dell, I'll ask you, you're a person of color, but I don't think as someone who follows college football, this is a very positive narrative to be behind. I don't see even the shrewdest of coaches thinking that they're going to be in trouble with their base if they come out against this type of behavior and police brutality.
Well, I did want to get to I'll answer that. I don't think as it's 50% of the population who wants to hijack a narrative, but there are political people with agendas who know they can rile up a particular segment of the population by turning it into something else. So I do believe there's some truth to that, but I don't think everyone – everyone feels
one that I think that was against it, Dell. Everyone. Every single one. One second. Okay. Every single one, it was to them, it was just about the flag.
Yeah.
It was just about respecting the flag.
I was going to go. A lot of people have a visceral reaction to the kneeling, and that's about an emotional thing where the flag right. they feel is disrespected. But there are also others who can who know that is a reaction for some people and go, how do I turn this into my favor?
Oh, yeah. So, yes, if that that's exists. A feeling for you, John, you don't think there's somebody who could say, I know there's a lot of people who feel like John does or did or whatever. I can use that in my favor. If I can get people arguing about that, that's gonna pull him closer in my favor if I stand for what he believes. Yeah. I think people are smarter than that, especially in a political standpoint. People understand their whole thing is how do you maximize your base? How do you broaden out enough to get a fatter, fuller, thicker base to vote for you? So I do think people who work, I think Steve Bannon's not stupid. I'll tell you that. No matter what anyone else says about Trump, whatever, I think Steve Bannon wasn't dumb. I think Steve Bannon understood how to pick up, figure out, filter, and drive certain points home.
Okay. 801 ESPN 97.5. Good call, Eric. Very thoughtful. We appreciate it. John wants to talk about Eric's call, and anybody else wants to get in, 713-780-3776. In the meantime, let's be champions out there. Let's pay less for our electricity. That's the basic message here. Is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving. I cannot tell you how awesome it is to have a bill every month that I know it's going to be lower than I would with anywhere else because it is just ridiculous for you to be paying more and you are. So if your contract is up, go with mine. champion.energy/1560.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.